the final installment or piece of our sermon series entitled Not So Superheroes. And we have spent time examining the lives of many people in our Bible, most of whom we regard as having a faith superior to our own. And yet one thing that we all must remember is that although our names will never be recorded in God's holy word, and for that I go, shoo, and our stories, the joy of having these stories recorded for us is that we get to see human beings and their foibles. We get to see that when the rubber meets the road, it is truly faith. And it is God inside of each one of them and us that makes our stories notable. When we recognize that God is the hero in all of us, that is the most super thing of all. So let's go back briefly. We talked about Abram and Sarai, who would later be called by God as Abraham and Sarah. And what did we learn from them? We learn that when we intervene and we try to rush or manipulate God's promises with our own timing, that what happens is not always all that super. And it's definitely not the way that God intended. Then we move to Gideon, and we discover that we cannot hide from God, and we cannot make excuses. I tried. Both the guys still said I had to come up here tonight. When God calls us, when he has decided that we are to be a warrior in his name, he will also accomplish great things in us. And after Gideon came King David. And what we love about King David's story, the one that really hit home for so many of us, is that whether we sin publicly or privately, the one thing that we must do, like David did, is repent in order to truly be someone after God's own heart. One of my favorite stories, the woman at the well. And what I love about that story is that the message forces us to acknowledge that Jesus knows everything about us, right? But it also reminds us that he loves us too much to leave us there and to not continue to work in us and through us to bring his message of grace and forgiveness. Last week brought us reminders of Peter and Paul. And it reminds us that our education level does not preclude us from being responsible for sharing the story of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that we don't have a message to share. It also reminds us that our past can be wiped clean. We are given a new identity in Jesus Christ, and that our belief can waver, but his faith in us simply never does. Today we move to a new superhero in the faith. And guess who that is? You. Let's begin by looking at our scripture found in the book of Acts, where it says, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." In the Message version of this passage, Peter is quoted as saying, "Listen carefully, and you get this story straight." In other words, this is the time that the prophet Joel told us about. My paraphrase is, this is the day that Jesus left us for. Now is the time for you and for me, for all those young men or the old men, the slaves and the women. These are the days for us to go out and be the superheroes. Now, typically, this scripture is preached Pentecost weekend. And we all laugh at the scriptures preceding these when the people accuse the disciples of being drunk. Do you remember that? And they accuse them of that because the Spirit has descended upon them and they're all talking in different languages. But isn't that often how many of us respond to a new or a different situation? We try to distract by making a funny, or sometimes we panic or we live in fear. What I love about our scripture for tonight is Peter's reminder of Joel's promise and the inclusive language. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy, young and old, even the slaves. All shall receive the Spirit. It's an uplifting promise for this little girl who stands in front of you today, whose first reaction to standing up here is often to feel terrified. It reminds me that Jesus, who is my life hero, paid a high price to equip me, to equip those disciples, and to equip each of you. It's a reminder that we, each one of us, have a role. It's a reminder that from that moment on, no one would ever be able to deny the power of Jesus Christ, who had risen from the dead, and the presence of his Spirit on all people. When I was first returning to church as a young 20-something, and I'll plug the gathering shamelessly, I could have gone to the gathering, but we didn't have it then. I had a 4-year-old son and an almost 18-year-old daughter. For a few weeks, they sat in the pew with me. And one Sunday, Margie Mitchell came up to me and she says, "Now, Kathy, you know children, they're always welcome in church. Next Sunday, I'm going to be in the nursery. So if you'd like me to help your kids make the transition, just in case you'd ever like to drop them off there, will you just let me know and you bring them in?" And now today, it is part of my job to find those unsung behind-the-scenes heroes of the church. And I still miss the opportunity to serve in the nursery, having always considered those precious moments for myself. I always seem to struggle to express just how appreciative we are as church that so many people give of themselves in the nursery and other behind-the-scenes manners. Debbie Spears told me one time, months ago, that she found a poem that she thought that I would love, and through the magic of the internet, I finally found it, so I'd like to share it with you. And it is entitled, "My Turn in the Nursery." Last Sunday was my turn in the nursery to work. My heart wasn't in it, and my feelings were hurt. A child from its mother did not want to part, and it cried a lot with its broken little heart. I prayed that soon the hour would end. Then I could relax, no more children to tend. Soon the hour was over, felt good to be free. I said, "Once a month is too much for me." That very next Sunday, as I sat in the pew, a very good sermon, but visitors were few. But down came a woman, and her soul was saved, and she was that mother of that crying babe. Then it dawned on me that I had been a part of one being saved, giving God their heart. From that day on, I never would dread working in the nursery where souls were being fed. What I see in that poem is that unexpected things can happen, even if you find yourself in a situation or place that is less enjoyable at the time. God can still work. Former heavyweight boxer James Quick Tillis was a cowboy from Oklahoma who fought out of Chicago in the early 1980s. He was also the first fighter to take Mike Tyson 10 rounds, despite the fact Tyson was 19 to Tillis' age of 28. Judges had to decide the winner of that match. And I love the title of his book, Thinkin' Big. In most interviews Tillis has ever done, he is asked about that very fight with Tyson and how it was he managed to box for years after that defeat. James Tillis, who preferred to be called the fighting cowboy, said this: "I still remember my first day in the Windy City after my arrival from Tulsa. I got off the bus with 2 cardboard suitcases under my arms in downtown Chicago. And I stopped in front of the Sears Tower. And I looked up and I said, 'I'm going to conquer Chicago.' I went to reach down for my suitcases and they were gone." This was an adverse situation for James Tillis, and it would have been easy to get right back on the bus and go home. However, that robbery did not deter him from achieving his goal in becoming a professional boxer. Tillis, who later became a motivational speaker, reminds us that too many times when we hit a snag in the road, we simply quit. He says, "Don't let past experiences or setbacks keep you from fulfilling God's will and your dreams and visions." The final story I want to tell you about tonight is about my little brother, Andrew Gary Sweeney. Wasn't he cute? He doesn't have near that much hair now. He lives in Ohio, so I can say that. And I'm still bigger than him. Okay, when Andy was about 4 or 5 years old, Superman was his life. He was all about Superman. And following two big sisters, I will have to say he was definitely all boy. He went through a phase of absolutely believing that he could do anything that Superman could do, including flying. He would leap off the back of the couch. I still cringe remembering when he would jump from the front door over cement steps into our front lawn. And he would race through the house just as fast as he could. He'd take a towel with a clothespin or anything, and he would just run through the yard. And he even thought he had Superman supervision, and he would stand there and he would look at you. I would tell him now he was too cute, but then I just waved my hands at him. Well, one day, being the oldest, I was to help Andy brush his teeth. So off we went down the hallway into the bathroom. That was the moment Noel was afraid of. The only way I could get him to let me help was to allow him to stand on the toilet. And so when we finished, what I remember telling Andy was, "Now wipe your mouth, and I'm going to get Mom and see if it's time for you to go to bed or whether you can go play." What I heard next was, "Look, Kathy, I'm Superman!" And he was on top of the vanity. I mean, like, I am too far, okay? I know, he's on the vanity, and he jumps, and that little chin hit the door handle on the door and through his tongue, and we all sat in that hallway and just cried. I felt so awful for him. To this day, his tongue has a little L-shaped flap in it. You can't put stitches in tongues, just so you know. And it's a reminder, it's a scar reminder of a moment when he was convinced that he had actual superpowers. In that moment, he absolutely believed that he could do anything his cartoon hero did. And that was the problem. You see, it's when we think that we have to have actual superpowers that things don't really turn out as we hoped or planned. When Jesus calls us, he calls us to do the things that God has already gifted us for, things we can do that are often much easier for us than we make them to be. Our vision and our dreams, as Peter reminds us, need to be focused on the bigger picture, the opportunity to bring others to lean on the true superhero of Jesus Christ. It was promised by Joel. It is realized at Pentecost. And the burning question then becomes, was that just a one-time event when the Spirit came in power? Or is this the same Holy Spirit ready to work in and through men and women today? And the way we answer that question makes all the difference in our lives and in our world. John 14:12 says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." When discussing the message for this week, this will be interesting. I happened to sit down right in that pew
Actually, Bob had sent me a text earlier that day, and we began to talk about it, and he doesn't know I'm quoting him. But this is what he said. Our risen Lord spoke those words as seeds in our hearts to equip us to do even more than he could do if he had stayed on this earth. The scripture says to me personally that Jesus trusts every single one of us to tell his story, that he expects us to show his grace, and that he anticipates that we are going to extend the same humbleness and humility that he did. There is an opportunity for each of us to be a hero of faith for someone. So, ladies and gentlemen, young and old, put on your cape of faith. Stand firm on the promise that we find in God's word, and allow yourself to be filled with that same spirit that gave those disciples a power greater than they had ever experienced before. And we're going to go out and we're going to save the world, one person at a time. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much. We thank you for your patience. We thank you that you extend to us a power that we often don't appreciate. So Lord God, as we continue in our worship, just continue, Lord, to have that spirit fill us, because we know that there is a world out there that needs a hero, and you are the best place for them to look. Be with us now. Fill us up. We just long to serve you and to be who you created us to be. Asking all of this in your precious name. Amen.